Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. It is 10 o'clock on Thursday, August 1st, 2019. This is a work session on case number PU-19-283, One Oak Rockies Midstream Bear Creek Gas Plant. I'm Commissioner Brian Crotius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchek and Commissioner Randy Christman. We also have John Hsu, our lead attorney, legal counsel at the table with us as well. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Christman?
I do not have any opening comments either.
And Commissioner Fedorchek, it's your portfolio.
Okay, so. Very good. So the One Oak has filed. Oh, Pat is here.
And we also have Pat Fahn just joined us as well.
Filed a not really an application, but a notification of an expansion to their previously approved Bear Creek Gas Plant. They filed it under the footprint law, and so our challenge, but the issue here is that in our original order we put a maximum capacity on this facility, and so the company, I believe, accurately says that there isn't a hearing required or even a notice of opportunity for hearing because of the footprint law. And I did make copies of the stuff so we can all be maybe pass one around to Jack too and Pat. I'll take one. Just give it. They're all the same. So we're all looking at the same thing, but and that being the law. So under the 4922.1-01, this really falls under 3B, that they basically qualify for the exclusion under subdivision A, which is right above, which basically says that it's being the construction is being conducted wholly within a geographic location for which a utility has previously obtained a certificate or permit. So they have that, and then accept that the activities are expected to affect a known avoidance area, and before conducting activities, they certify in writing to the commission that the activities won't affect a known exclusion area. They have done that. The activities are for construction of, and in this case, it's for to increase or decrease the capacity of existing gas or liquid energy conversion facility. And then C, the utility will comply with all applicable conditions and protections, et cetera. They've done that. Number two, notifies the commission in writing that they are expected to impact an avoidance area and provides information on the specific avoidance area expected to be impacted and the reasons why it can't be avoided. They have done that. And number three, receives the commission's written approval for the impact of the avoidance area based on determination that there's no reasonable alternative to the expected impact. If we do not approve this impact, so basically if we say no, then they have to go through the Siting Act. If we don't act at all, then it's deemed approved within 30 days. So we're really at number three there. Dealing with the avoidance area. Now, I know staff has some thoughts on notice of opportunities for hearing, and because of how we've handled this, something similar on previous cases. And so I think I want to hear from them, and then we can discuss that. But from my perspective, just on the front end, I feel strongly that we do what we need to do to either alter our processes or, make it more clear moving forward that we're following what the policymakers intended in this footprint law. And so we might have some differences in how we interpret that, but I think it's pretty clearly spelled out. So anyway, so I think at this point I'd like to hear from staff in terms of what issues they have, and then we can work through them on potential ways moving forward. I have some thoughts on the how to deal with the avoidance area and how we can work through that, and because I do think that's important that we get that right. But with I think now it'd be good to hear from you guys.
On this sort of question that they can ask, did they tell us what the specific avoidance area is, or just that it is there?
It's a cultural resource.
So
that was identified.
So to subsection 2 there, providing information on the specific avoidance area expected to be impacted, do you think that just saying it's a cultural resource is providing information on the specific avoidance area as opposed to it's an old foundation or it's a this or a that or the other thing?
I think we rely heavily on the State Historic Preservation Office for information about or what to do about cultural resources. And so when I saw that it was about a cultural resource, then I thought it would be appropriate to contact SHPO or have the company provide something from SHPO that would indicate that SHPO was okay with the impact. And so I had been checking into that. Eventually, SHPO had written a letter that said that they were giving temporary approval of the proposal, how the project was going to be constructed right on this site. And I called to confirm what SHPO may have meant by that temporary approval. And the information that I received was they were okay with the impact to the site, but they wanted a final report that hadn't been filed yet. And so they made the letter concurring with the recommendation of the company. They made it conditioned on getting that final report.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry to
derail you. That's a good question. All right. So what else do we need to talk about in terms of process?
Oh, the as far as the process that we've used in the past, when we have a company that is expanding the capacity of a facility, and the capacity of the facility was something that was found, a finding of fact in the order, then we've in the past believed that the way we've handled it is an amendment to the order, and so we would do a notice of opportunity typically. So I think, I mean, Jack and I both agree that the legislature intended, you know, that they could build another facility there. The only question that, the only reason we do that notice of opportunity is to amend the order, and that's the way we've done it in the past. But going forward, maybe that's not necessary. Mm-hmm. If the commission doesn't feel that's necessary, that's fine.
Is it possible to amend an order without that step? I mean, can we do this and amending the order in one fell swoop?
I believe in our practice procedure it states that in order to do an amendment, we actually have to provide a notice of opportunity. But as Pat and I were discussing, we may just continue to put the certifications in the same case so you can follow, well, this is what we permitted. These are the ordering provisions, and these are the applicable conditions and terms they need to follow in addition to the law. In order to be able to understand what happened with this pipeline, the following certifications that are provided, then the public or any interested party would be able to track within that docket the following certifications, and so there would be a clear path to follow what has occurred in the pipeline and what has changed in the modification and why there was no amendment in the first place to the original order.
Mm-hmm. Is it something that could be amended later? Just take out the cap?
Yes. I'm not overly, and I don't have an in-depth knowledge of this case specifically, but did we actually have a cap in our ordering provisions, or was it in the findings?
I believe the capacity that we find is in the finding. It's in the findings of the order.
Okay, so it isn't in one of the conditions that we provided on the actual project in and of itself. I'm not sure if it's necessary that we even need to do amendment in the first place. Then it depend. I mean, we have in the past, and my memory may be lost, but if I recall it, I thought that there was some concern on the front end that with the transition of the law, we had all these outstanding orders, and we based our conclusions of law and our made out these conditions based on these finding of facts, and as a result of that, we felt that we needed to actually change those findings to reflect that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's absolutely necessary. In order to construct, you need to have the permit, so that would be indicating the amendment. However, this is a construction. This is an exemption from the construction definition. So, in essence, they're not really doing construction under the Siting Act. And
yeah,
when you look at it from that aspect. Mm-hmm.
And that's what the company states.
Right. But none of this prevents us if we look at these certifications, and I think that's the whole point of having those certifications in the first place of U.S. commissioners to take action in the public interest. If they provide these certifications and you see something that's concerned with what they provided, or we need additional information, such as Pat took advantage of contacting SHPO, that's still within your ability to do that and request a hearing for anything within your jurisdiction as well.
And if it came up that it was, a potential burial site or something like that, then there could be further issues. I mean, it doesn't sound like that's what SHPO thinks is going on here, but that's why that exists.
And other additional burial sites are still required to follow the conditions of our orders before, and I believe in our certification documents that there's something that relates to contacting us as well as SHPO. In that case, I think we've had issues with that in the past.
Unanticipated fines.
Correct.
Yep. So if it's a finding of fact and not an ordering provision, the order doesn't need to be changed.
I think it's a reasonable interpretation that we don't need to actually change the order, change the findings. The finding of facts are important in a lot of cases, but with this change of the Siting Act, it kind of makes it seem like they're not that important after the original project is in place in and of itself.
Well, not that the facts aren't important, but that the capacity as one of the facts isn't something that's going to trigger a new siting process.
Right, and that's once this is already constructed, this footprint law that we're talking about specifically here. So it's constructed. They're going to prove it or put in a second line. This area has been reviewed, and the law provides that they don't need to file a separate application for that. You can just provide a certification.
And I mean, I'm comfortable with this. I think it's what is envisioned by this footprint law. And I think if we create an additional barrier or hurdle to go over with a notice of opportunity for hearing to amend the order, I think that would be contrary to what was intended here, personally.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe not 100% in the details working up to, but I agree with the end result. So I'll just throw out some of my thoughts on this in general. First of all, because I don't want to lose track of this, unless we were for some reason, if they filed something on a Friday and we run out of days, I hope we don't get to the point where we just let these things happen because we didn't do something within the, 30 days or 14 days? I forget now.
30.
So I hope that we will, in this case and future cases, respond in writing as it suggests and actually take an action. I don't want to just let them time out and go ahead. Mm-hmm. I think, we build these records in government and they're important for a lot of reasons. Sometimes the records of these cases can be important for future determinations of whether you have good laws in place or bad laws in place. And even though you've been following a law, later on it might be determined that that wasn't that great and it needs to be changed. I'm not going to be surprised if someday in the future there something doesn't happen, and I don't expect it in this case, but within the various types of things that fall under the footprint law, that something is going to grow and people are going to wish that there hadn't been a more thorough evaluation of that expansion. And so I think our record of how it got cited in the first place and then these kinds of additions is important. So I don't think that we've been making a mistake by acknowledging the scale of the project that we issue a certificate for. These kinds of things get added to the docket as we go, so there's a record of how it grew from this to this. And someday, if something happens, people can look back and see how this footprint law is being used, and maybe it will be that someday that needs to be changed. I hope not. I hope it continues to work well. But so I just want to emphasize that I don't think that we were making a mistake before the footprint law or after by putting in the scale of the project that we're issuing a certificate for. And I don't find it problematic that then later on the project is of a different scale if they expanded it according to this footprint law. So I am, I guess at this point, feeling comfortable with, and I don't know what that, is that just a letter, that written response? I don't know if we really have, I don't have a hand on exactly what that is, but I think in this case I'm comfortable with us getting it done. And
I think that there's a little, personally on this case, I think there's a little work that needs to still happen with the cultural resource, though, too, because we don't, I think Pat's right in getting more information. The company's doing some studies, and they're willing to file that stuff and let us, you know, get that approval ahead of time, you know, and I think that's appropriate because, you know, if we don't do that, then something comes back in the end and it's wrong, then that jeopardizes this process. So I think we should do that one, right? So there could be a number of things depending on how much information we personally want, if we want staff to just work with the company and we can wait for the SHPO approval or maybe the preliminary, or we could sit down with the company in an informal and talk about it, you know, what they know so far about that avoidance area. You know, there's a number of avenues for addressing that.
Jack, you were going to say something, I think, following Randy's comments.
I don't think anything is absolutely necessary. I was just going to follow up briefly on the, with regards to the amendment. I think that's why we initially had been doing the amendments, as there was some concern that changes would occur, and we want to be able to track them, as well as if you do an amendment, if there's a notice of hearing, and we feel that there's a need to have a whole other separate proceeding due to a substantial change in material alteration. That's why we had done it. But I think that also, for some certain facilities, that may be resolved, because we have continued to provide, not in the findings of fact, but in the conclusions, in the order and provisions in certain areas and certain projects, maybe a cap on megawatts or this or that. And if there's something that may be concerning to you, that's something where we could continue to do that for projects of concern of how it changes, because that, I would think, would be a protection that would be in place for certain items, and then we'd have to continue to do a notice of opportunity for those, for projects specifically like this, change capacity, growing larger, that we don't see a concern within this project area. We wouldn't need to put anything in place like that, and I don't think we need to necessarily do an amendment.
Good point.
So does that provide a process that's workable, not just on this project but others? Is it pretty clear?
It is. I think one thing we'll have to be mindful of is, as we go on forward with our siting, though, is we should be thinking about the next projects too, mm-hmm. within the sited area, and if there are some things that have concerned their landowners or cultural resources or environmental issues, that we make sure that we put those in the conditions. Mm-hmm. So so that, of course, the next project within that cited area would have to be subject to them as well.
Well, I agree with Randy that this is a change for the public, and I can see some surprises down the road when the public has these big expansions going on with no process and wondering why there wasn't anything. And, you know, with wind farms or whatever. This is a substantial increase in that area, and, you know, maybe the neighboring landowners are going to be surprised or concerned about safety, et cetera, and it does really give a lot of latitude to the companies, and they are being trusted to make sure that they've covered all those bases. And I agree with you that we should be talking more about the possibility of expansions, or that that's, you know, that could happen without another siting process in the original siting discussions.
And, you know, those future projects, I think this makes a good example, because I always remember this case because it was just kind of fun. I'm pretty sure I'm on the right one, that at the hearing we heard concern from a county commissioner about an alternative access road in case there was an accident that shut down the road in and out of there. How would they get in with other emergency services or things like that? And the company agreed to do some work to make sure there was an alternative. And I'm sure they did. But I don't know to what extent that is, how good that alternative road is. And I'm thinking that 200 million cubic feet per day doesn't change the employee number a lot. But if these are just open-ended in other cases in the future and they magnify by 10 or 100 times or something, you know, can it change the amount of traffic and such where there's road issues or the kinds of things that we address in siting cases? That's when I think people are going to look back and say maybe footprint laws need to be altered if someone pushes it too far. I don't think we're at that here, so I don't mean to raise those concerns for this case, but it's part of the overall process.
That's a really good point. This doesn't, though, negate any local requirements for you know, zoning and permitting at the local level that they might need to do for expansions. That still is up to the locals. So there should be a discussion at that level about some of those issues.
Good point.
Okay. Do you guys have what you need? What should we do for the cultural resources? What would you like to do?
I want to ask a question about that. So if we request some more information and we get beyond 30 days and they haven't provided it, then does the previous subsection kick in and they can go ahead anyway?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what you called that.
If we request more information about the cultural resource and we haven't gotten it yet and we get outside of 30 days, where is it in here? After 30 days, they can go ahead.
Number three.
It's deemed approved.
I think the important words there are if the commission fails to act. And so what does act mean?
Also, our requesting the information would be the action.
That's a good question. That's what we always, you know, the staff always thought. If we get a proposal certification or siting exclusion certification, if we write to the company because we see something we need more information on or anything, any kind of correspondence, staff thinks we're acting. But I don't know if that's legal, how that's interpreted legally.
I would think there's certainly a way that we can make sure that there's no concerns there.
Sure. Well, I trust that the company will respond within the window of time. What was it, July 17th? Is that the...
July 24th.
Commission received your July 17th, 2019 letter.
Oh, yeah. That was
so
the first.
So basically whatever 30 days works out to August 16th. But if we don't have it by August 16th, then we still have time to act at that point in time, right? On that day, sure. And I trust that they'll have it. But, yeah, I'd like to see more detail on that.
Within the 30 days, certainly. And we could also make the determination that at this point in time, we are not giving approval. Yeah. We have failed to act.
Can we take a comment from the...
As your prerogative, Chairman.
Yeah, absolutely. Come up and identify
Thank
yourself.
You. John Morrison, representing Buono. On the cultural survey, the final report is finalized, will be filed with SHPO today electronically, and they'll get their hard copy tomorrow. We can certainly provide a copy of the report to you. SHPO gets very sensitive about it because they don't like those reports going in your public files because they give details about the resources and the location, which they really don't like to be done. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you guys let us know what you want, we can certainly comply with that. We can get you that report as early as tomorrow if you'd like. We're hopeful that we'll have the concurrence from SHPO in short order, and that should resolve everything. And providing the concurrence to you is easier than providing the report because it doesn't have all the details. There was some talk about doing an informal hearing, and we wouldn't have any objection to that. But the time sensitivity is that because of construction issues in North Dakota, if they don't start with the site preparation by September 1st, they're not going to be able to get the plant in by the end of next season. So September 1st is kind of a critical drop-dead date. If the commission is inclined to issue or to set an informal hearing, we'd ask it to be done sooner than later. And maybe, I know the 6th or 7th is your regular meeting date. If you wanted to have an informal hearing that afternoon, we'd probably have more information on the SHPO issue and could respond to questions at that point in time, too. But we'd much prefer to have that than pushing off into like the 21st kind of range.
I personally would be okay with concurrence from SHPO versus the temporary approval, because I don't really know what, even though you described it, I'm still not quite sure what that means. But seeing that, and I can appreciate that they don't want to say, here's the roadmap to whatever resource it is.
I, too, am fine with the concurrence from SHPO.
Okay.
And the only concern I have is that if we don't get the SHPO concurrence within the 30-day period, we're going to be left in a bind. And we're going to do everything we can with SHPO to get it. And SHPO has certainly been very cooperative. So far, they have new personnel, so it takes a little longer perhaps to turn things around than it used to. But my concern is if we run into, like, the August 20th, August 25th time frame and we're not getting that concurrence, how are we going to satisfy you at that point, John?
I think we can deal with that if that happens, but I would just ask that you stay in close contact with staff on so that if there's a delay in the concurrence, then we could maybe go to Plan B, which would be more of like the informal discussion about what the cultural resource is, so we know what it is and can make a decision after that.
Sure.
Well, if SHPO wants to protect the information, their timeliness would be extremely helpful to that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to support that.
I'm
trying to say it politely, but,
yeah.
Sincerely as well. Yeah. And they're going to help us out here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We envision that, you know, the commission approval that's anticipated here in this number 3 for the impact to the avoidance area. We're envisioning a commission motion for approval of that impact. Unless you want to delegate, if you wanted to delegate that to staff, that's a possibility too. But otherwise, we had already, we have drafted a motion if you want to see what it would look like, or you can.
I might want to think about that a little bit. I'm just knowing that once we do it, then that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
I had more, the commission's written approval. A motion is one such way to provide that, but I'm not opposed to entertaining that coming from staff either. So I guess I'd think about that.
Sure. We'll wait for a direction on that then.
Okay. Do you guys have initial thoughts?
I don't have initial thoughts, but I just will say this, even though we've kind of tried to get a better handle on our meetings to make sure that we don't get all these last-minute things thrown on us, this is one of those things where you make an exception for, you know, because it's timing is important. And so if we decide to go with doing it as a commission motion, it's not a real complex thing. We've discussed it. It's not a surprise to anyone. So I just want to point out to you as portfolio holder, I don't mind this getting, if the decision is that we're going to do a motion, I don't mind it getting added near the last minute on to our agenda.
Okay.
I'll let staff know if I think of some real strong argument for a motion as opposed to a letter from staff, but right now I don't.
Regarding how you would like us to continue to treat this construction exemption, now I kind of laid out a process, including not having amending the original order. Yes, the commission made a decision to process cases that way, so I would need a commission. We would need a commission directive to change how we process that case, and at least that's what staff believes. And so is that something that the commission is interested in providing on this date during this meeting so we can reflect
like
in the meetings?
Saying this is how we want it from here on out, this
right.
process versus how we did it before with the
right.
board. I would. I think this is a it's more consistent with what was envisioned in the footprint law.
So historically, we've issued a letter from staff versus a motion or vice versa.
Maybe I think we're talking specifically with amending the orders. Every time we get a construction exemption, filing the certification documents. After that, I think it was two sessions ago, maybe three, that law was put into play. And then afterwards, unsure how we want to handle these and maybe still trying to figure out how to best protect the public, the commission to continue to do the amendments to the orders along with the certification, so to reflect that in the findings. With regards to going forward now with how we've been, this has been an issue. This has come up three or four times. If we receive a certification and there's something in the findings that would normally need to be amended as a result of the changes, we're suggesting that we go forward without amending the order in those cases and just allowing the certification as an indication that they're exempted from as being defined as construction for that change.
Yeah. And so is that something then you write up as a kind of like a policy or?
This, I think, would be reflected in the minutes of the meeting that the commission directed staff to make this alteration.
I just want to make sure I fully understand,
sure.
and that we all understand that the same process of what mm-hmm. we're moving on towards. So when there's footprint law type changes,
sure.
rather than doing a notice of opportunity and then having a motion to change the order, the new process would be that when these other things are taken care of, that whether it's as a motion or as a letter from staff, whichever we decide, that the company will just be notified of the commission's approval.
It's a little different than that.
We don't change the order.
You're correct about the first part. On the second part, if there was no avoidance or exclusion area, there would be no approval needed, if I remember correctly. So they would just provide us the certification. However, if there's an avoidance area that's affected, then it requires commission approval in the law. So in those instances, it still come forward ultimately for possibility of commission approval unless the 30-day passes within action.
So basically, we won't be doing a notice of opportunity to amend the order.
For findings. If we still have these ordering protections and requirements that we put in our orders, if there's something that conflicts with that, they will have to amend their order.
Rather than hurry and make a decision as, okay, this is the new directive for how we're doing all of these going forward, I think I would prefer to do this one kind of as an exception to the old rule, get it handled because of the urgency of starting construction. And then in the coming few weeks, let's just figure out exactly what that directive is. And I think that's what I want to do, but I don't know that we need to hurry and make it a...
We don't. There are others like this, though, so we do ultimately, not like this, but there's other applications in to use the footprint law. So yeah. I think that if you don't, you know, I'm very open to other approaches. I just would be interested in what are they that allow us to kind of be consistent with what the legislature envisioned.
I don't know either what they would be, but just I don't know we need to hurry and decide today just because we have this one case. We can handle this one as an exception. And in the next few weeks, let's figure out what that directive should be.
I would agree with that in the conversation. It's part of the record now. Or we'll indicate that we're going to review the process going forward and make a determination on how we want to proceed.
Sure. So the direction is to use the new process on this specific case, and then going forward we'll determine if we are going to continue to do that.
Yes.
Okay. I don't even know if I would call it a new process, but just this particular process.
Sure, this different process.
Different process.
Sure.
We'll continue to review.
I would point out, though, and certainly it probably is good to discuss it and make sure everyone's on board and understands this. This has come up at least three or four times since I've been here, that this almost exact same discussion, and we usually said we'll come back to it. So it would be nice to have some sort of resolution in the near future.
Since a lot of these fall within my portfolio for siting, I'm going to be recommending this process unless somebody has another idea for how to do this differently. So I'll be kind of pushing staff that way, and you guys will see it as they come up, I guess.
Okay. I expect this is the process we're going to settle on, but...
Okay. All right. That's it for me, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Anything else, Commissioner Crisman?
Not on this subject, but I would like to talk a little scheduling. We can do that, right?
Staff, anything else from your end? Okay, do you want the scheduling conversation to be a part of the recording?
No. It doesn't have to be.
Okay, then we are adjourned on this work session.